I think it's seeing both of them know more about Jesus.
It's just so easy to get to know the people. And I'm so well accepted. Got them all fooled.
They want to come to church. I don't have to tell them. I mean, they ask during the week, are we going to come to church?
Elevation Church in one word is
real.
Oh, good morning, Elevation Church. I love it. You know, for 3 weeks in May, we set up that little tent back in the hallway back here. And I just asked that you would take a few minutes out of your life and walk down that hallway and sit down in that little video venue where Tanner was shooting video on his iPhone, right? And just tell us why you love Elevation Church. Why do you love your church? And many of you, a great many of you, actually did that. You went down there, you sat down, you spent 5, 10, 15 seconds or minutes, some of you, and you just told us what you love about the church. And I love it. We captured hours, literally hours of video and audio. And you know what? Some of it's a little rough, right? Because there were kids running down the hall while you were in there talking, you know? There was all kinds of crazy background noise and different things going on. But it's so awesome. This video is so great. It's so raw and so real, as Braxton told us just a minute ago. The greatest thing about Elevation Church is we're so real. You are so real. And so this morning, our message is literally taken straight from those videos with as little edit and change as possible to squeeze it into the time that we have. We are this morning going to tell our story, your story. Well, really, it's God's story about Elevation Church. It's in your words. What is God doing in and through and among, and in some cases, in spite of all of us, his church? And I'm telling you, as I previewed this stuff and went through it, and Tanner and I did a lot of work. Tanner did a lot of work. Tanner's got about 40 hours of editing, post-production, putting all of this together. Yes, give Tanner a round of applause. That was a labor of love over the last several weeks that Tanner's put into this. But as we go through this today, I don't want you to be listening to this video and critiquing it for how good or bad the audio is, or for whether or not we caught your good side or not, right? Ladies, did that dress make you look big or what? Don't be watching it for that. And also, I don't want you to be listening or watching it for how amazing, how awesome is Elevation Church. Now, that may sound crazy because this is all about why I heart my church, right? But I want you to be listening and watching, not for how great is Elevation Church, but for how great is our God, that he would allow us, a bunch of broken people, a bunch of messed up messes, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself on that, but just that he would do what he is doing in, through, and among you and me. God is good. God is so, so good. So let's get to the videos. Let's find out why you love Elevation Church.
I've been with Elevation Church now for a little over a year, and I just, about a year. I think I started last year around March. I was invited by a former coworker, Becky Gibson, and I kind of heard from her out of the blue, and at that time it just seemed so timely to come and kind of search for answers, so I decided to come. Totally out of the blue. I would have to say the biggest impact that Elevation Church has been in the relationships that I've made.
In a lot of ways, God's been using Elevation Church and really more it's the people of the church. I found that through the discipleship meetings that I was offered, and I've been doing for, I think, almost since I started here. Probably almost a year we've been doing discipleship with Sandy and Lakeisha. And through them, I've been able to grow and really appreciate my relationship with God and almost be able to fall more in love with what He's doing in my life and changing it. And even being a part of the ladies group, of course, we can't tell you exactly what goes on at ladies' night, but
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. It's a secret. But it's so incredible. Every time I leave there, I feel enlightened and warm, and just to really find out that there's ladies in the church that they really do go, we all go through the same things, and to hear how they're dealing it with their life and how maybe I could reflect on it in my life, it's been such an amazing experience. And every single person I've met here has been awesome, and I felt so accepted, and it's very comfortable here. And even when I walked in the first day, I wasn't a believer yet, but I was still just accepted for who I was. And this place really has, it feels like I'm back home with my family. It's really, really neat. So, and goofy, crazy aunts and all. I really came to a point in my life where I was exhausted. I tried so much to do everything on my own. Even though, I mean, I had my husband, but it's not the same, you know? And I tried so hard to find accomplishments and wholeness and other things. And I mean, jobs, hobbies, relationships, even obsessions, just, it never felt good. It always felt empty at the end. And once I started kind of exploring God and coming to church and asking a lot of really of those hard questions, it just started to, things started to fall into place. And the more I gave over to God and said, you know what, God, I'm just going to let you handle this, because that's what He's there for. I mean, you know, part of it. And the more I did, I just was put more at ease, and I felt happier. I've felt like I've had more joy in my life, and blessings have just been so bountiful. And not saying my life was easier immediately when I accepted Christ into my life. Not saying that at all, but it's made the hard stuff a lot easier to deal with and to work through, because I know I got Him on my side. Just hearing the ladies at church, I don't know, sometimes, especially when I first gone to other churches, everybody seemed so perfect. And, you know, the church experience I did have weren't great ones, you know, that I have been to. And here, everyone just seemed real. You know, they weren't afraid to say, yeah, I'm dealing with this problem. Of course. Who doesn't, you know? And that for me was just a breath of fresh air. Is at first I was scared. I didn't know what to expect when I first walked in Elevation. You know, I really had no idea. And when I did walk in, I just felt, it felt warm. And everybody was smiling and happy, generally really happy to see a new face. And that was very different from what I've experienced before.
Everyone needs Jesus. We love Elevation Church because Jesus is here. When you walk in to whatever venue, whatever meeting room, whatever building we've been in, whether it's been in my living room or when you were with us maybe back at MMOV Studios or then Studio B or now Briar Hill Middle School or next week over at McAuliffe Elementary School. Yes, we are a very mobile church, right? It doesn't matter where we meet. It doesn't matter where we meet. It's with whom do we meet? With whom do we meet? It's meeting together as His church, as the body of believers, as the community, and it's meeting together with Him. Kim found a relationship with Jesus here. She found salvation from sins. She found reconciliation with her Creator. She found community with all of you. And she's not alone in that. Her story was told several times through several different people through their own experiences. We just used Kim's to illustrate this point that everybody needs Jesus, and Jesus is here. And that's one of the reasons that we love Elevation Church, is because you can come in a broken mess and still be received warmly, welcomed. Pat said it in the opening video, I've got them all fooled, right? Some of you have got us all fooled. No, you don't. We just love you anyway. We know you're a mess. We are too. We're just a mess right there with you, and loving you and letting God deal with our mess. See, that's the thing. When you come here and you meet Jesus, when you come in here and you are exposed to the church and the community. I hate it when I do that. Everything's still together? I didn't blow anybody up? Okay. I don't know what I just did, but let's try not to do it again. But when you come in here and you get exposed to what the Lord is doing and you get involved in community and you have that just amazing experience of hearing the truth of Jesus and receiving his love by being with people who are just going to welcome you the way you are, then life change happens. Kim said it, her own words. Her life has been richer, more blessed, not necessarily easier in terms of bad things didn't stop happening, but that she now knows how to deal with those bad things better, that she can lean on the Lord and trust in him and have faith that his plan for her is better than her own plan for her, and that if she will submit to him and let him lead and she will follow, that even the hard things end up being for her own good. That's something we're promised in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God tells us that for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that even the worst things in life, the biggest challenges, he uses them to refine us and to define us and to grow us more into the man or the woman that he created us to be. Why do we love Elevation Church? Because Jesus is here and because he's working here in us, through us, and among us. He's here. Why else do we love Elevation Church? Oh, there's so many stories. There's so many reasons. Let's see what else we captured on video that helps us explain and define and understand why we heart our church.
How long have you guys been going to Elevation Church?
Since it started.
Since we were very itty bitty
from the very beginning.
In the living room.
The very first service.
What was the first service like at Elevation?
It was odd.
Nobody knows except for y'all.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
Like a Bible study with music.
Yeah, well, but with a CD.
With a CD.
Yeah, our first music was a CD, and Todd said that we're only going to do CDs until we get big enough where nobody can hear me sing. And so our very first service was sitting in Todd and Trina's living room. And literally, it was a Bible study with CD music playing for our worship. And that's how we started. Four families?
Just a handful of us. And I wanted that CD turned up louder and louder because it's a little weird singing with your buddies in the living room. Let's be honest.
It is.
But it was cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, to see how it's grown has been cool.
Yeah.
To see how God's been faithful. Why I love Elevation Church. I really don't know where to start with that. Balling. So, if I ball, I manage. My life has been crazy, especially over the last year and a half. Randy and I gave our testimony in church about what happened to us and the affairs, and the church just loved us back, and I expected some people in the church to judge us or judge me. As I was leading worship with my back pain, when my back pain became worse and doctors wouldn't help, I got addicted really bad to the pain medication that they were giving me. When I overdosed and had to step off the stage, I thought when I came back from treatment that I would be judged, that people would look down on me. And the funny thing is God works so well, and the people in this church who love God just love right back on me with no criticism, with no questions. And That's why I love Elevation Church. Elevation Church has helped me and my wife through a lot of hard times. We've prayed for new beginnings for so long, and now I think we're right in the middle of one, of a brand new beginning for us as a family, for me as a person. And so for the first time in my life, I feel like leading our house. And again, Elevation has helped us do that. So many people have loved on her and reached out to her when she needed most.
Yeah, I think it's just all about support. The support that we've gotten from the people here. They've behaved as Christ behaved for us. You don't transform someone by shaming them. You transform them by loving them. And we have found love and support and the ability for our lives to start anew and be transformed by that love and support.
Well, what's your favorite thing about Elevation Church today?
Oh, by far, I think the people.
Yeah.
By far. We've got so many people that are interested in our story. So many people that we can love on and that come to us and ask us, dude, how'd y'all get through this? I mean, we're going through this right now. How'd you get through it? And, I think the church is all about the people that are in it. It's not about where you meet. It's about the people that are in it. It's not about the music on stage. It's not about how great Todd speaks. It's about the people that are in the church and the fellowship and the discipleship that happens among each other. That's my favorite thing.
Todd jokes about, we're a church that gets dirty. Well, I love the fact that we're getting dirty together, that no one has to come in here and pretend that they're perfect and that they don't have anything going on in their life. Let's get in here. Let's do this together. Let's get dirty together. And I think that that's been the best part, because God's taken our junk and our funk and turned it into blessings. And, other people can air their stuff too and know that they're going to be loved and supported and led to Christ's standards and his direction for how do you get through these things. I mean, it's so cool to just get dirty together.
We love Elevation Church because everyone has a story. And because here you can, like the Martins, live your story. You can be honest and open about where you are in your story, where you are in your walk, what is good, what's maybe not so good, what things are in your past and even in your present that maybe you're not proud of, not excited about. You can be open, you can be honest, you can be real. The Martins, they have a story. Randy's helping in our children's ministry today. Jim's sitting in here representing for them. But they have a story. And if you haven't heard it yet, you should hear it. And if you think their story is over, it is still being written every day. God is hard at work in their lives as they are living submitted to Him. But they've been very open in this church about their story. They've been very open with us about the sin in their lives, about their past, their mistakes, about their present, their struggles. They've just lived really publicly in a lot of ways with all of that stuff. And the reason they have done that is because through their struggles, through the years of them struggling through some of the things that you heard Jim reference in that video, one of the things that they have learned is that real ministry happens when we are honest about what's happening in our lives. Real ministry happens when we, as Randy said, get dirty. When we get the funk and the junk out in the open. We stop trying to hide all of that sin, all of that stuff. We stop trying to pretend that we're perfect people coming to a perfect church. Let me tell you right now, if you're here today looking for the perfect church, you have not found it. We were the perfect church until you came in, okay? That's what somebody told me one time when I thought I was looking for the perfect church. I'm joking a little bit. We're not the perfect church. We're not pretending to be the perfect church. We're not even striving to be the perfect church. We simply want to be the church. We want to do what the church is called to do. Not to have church, not to go to church, but to be the church in this community. To love God and to love others. And as Randy said, we don't love others. We don't see transformation happen in other people's lives by condemning them, by ousting them. We see transformation happen in people's lives when we love them as Christ loved us while we are yet sinners. That's what it means to be the church. It's to welcome sinners into our midst. It's to welcome a lost and dying world, people who live far from God, into our family, and to make them feel welcome and at home here, to make them feel comfortable enough to stick around and to be in relationship with us so that the Holy Spirit of God can make them uncomfortable with where they are in their sin. And so He can do the work in them. See, we don't do the work in them. I spent too many years of my ministry working on people. I worked on Jim for a long time. It didn't work. But when you let the Lord do the work and you love the sinner, hate the sin, love the sinner, let him in, and then let the Lord work, it's amazing what things can happen. The Martins have a story. It's a tough story. They're very open about it because they've learned that that is where ministry begins, when they are open and honest about their funk and their junk, as Randy said. And you know what? You have funk and junk in your life too, and so do I. Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. His standard is perfection. You and I cannot achieve it. And that's why we need Jesus. Jesus's perfection comes and resides in us when we submit to Him and accept the gift that He gave us on the cross some 2,000 years ago, the gift of freedom in a relationship with Him as our Lord and as our Savior, as our leader in this life, and as the one who took the penalty, paid the price for our transgressions. Real ministry happens when we're open, when we're honest, when we confess. The Bible says, confess your sins that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Healing happens when you're open and honest. But you know what? You'll never be open or honest about your stuff, about your sin, your funk and junk, as Randy said, if you don't trust the people that are around you. If you don't trust the church leadership, and if you don't trust the church, you won't open up. And I love that people feel comfortable. They feel welcome here, welcome enough to come back enough times to begin to develop the relationships that lead to the trust in the church as an entity, the leadership, and in the church as a body of believers, all of us together. And that we can really do ministry in people's lives. We can get real about the problems that we have. We can get open and honest about broken marriages. We can get open and honest about financial stress and struggle. We can get open and honest about our challenges in parenting. I'm not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not even a perfect pastor or a perfect Christian. I'm a jacked up mess. I'm just the jacked up mess that God called to stand on this platform and preach His message. We're not going to be perfect here, but we're going to pursue the one who is, and we're going to let Him do the refining work in our hearts. And thank you, Elevation Church. Thank you so much for being the church, for welcoming sinners, for opening your arms up and letting people into your life, knowing that they might hurt you, that they might offend you. They might hurt the church at large. They may do things that would destroy or tear us down. They're not going to destroy us. God's bigger than that. But we've got to open ourselves up to that. We've got to be open and welcoming and inviting and warm and receive them in love and love them enough to tell the truth that every one of us sins and falls short of God's glory. And because of that, we all need Him. Confession by itself, though, is not enough. Confession has to be followed by that commitment to be remade in the image of God. And so that's what we preach up here. That's what we talk about on a regular basis, is committing to follow Jesus, committing to submit your will to His, committing to being open and honest about your stuff and dealing with it. Elevation Church is not a clean church. We coined the term, I'm pretty sure, dirty church. And I'm not talking triple X dirty. I'm talking Good Samaritan, down in the ditch with the wounded, with the hurting, muddy and bloody, healing them, bringing them to a place where they can be attended to by the Lord. That's the story of the Good Samaritan. A guy who saw a man down in the ditch, beaten up by robbers, left for dead, and he went over and he got down in that ditch and he got muddy and he got bloody and he spent his own money and his own time to invest in that man's rehabilitation and that man's preservation of his life, his salvation. And that's the kind of church we are. We're roll up your sleeves, dirt under your nails, blue collar, muddy, bloody, dirty church. And I love Elevation Church because we're a dirty church. I love Elevation Church because everyone has a story, and your story is welcome here, no matter what that story is. Everybody has that story. We all need redemption and love and acceptance. We all need forgiveness from Jesus. And Jesus is doing that work in, through, and among us. But there's so much more. There's so much more that He has in store. We are only just beginning. We're 3 years old as a church. We've just begun. He has just begun to work in this community through all of us. I know that because I know that there's still like 2 out of 3 people in this community who do not know Him. 2 out of 3 in Flower Mound and Highland Village, Louisville. 2 out of 3 of your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, 2 out of 3 are living life separated from Him. We got a lot of work to do. He's got a lot of work to do in, through, and among us. We have only just begun. And I know that because I know that life happens. Life happens. Every one of us in different points of our lives are going to experience those moments where all you know how to define it by, all you know how to explain it with, is simply saying, life just happened. Let's take a look at this next video.
Well, it was a little more than a year ago that our son and his girlfriend invited us to come to the Easter service. We were really happy to be here with them and starting to meet all of you. But it was really in September when our son tragically died in a car accident that Todd and the church came to our rescue. It was amazing, the outpouring of love towards our whole family, towards our friends, and what Todd did for us during that time period and has continued to do for us as the church has done. We were so impressed at the memorial service, and I don't think you and I even said anything to each other. We just sort of looked at each other and shook our heads and realized this was going to be home for us. Huh?
Yeah, it was just really the outpouring of love from the church, and especially again from Todd, that really influenced us to become the Elevation Church and really helped us through a very difficult time, which is still the most difficult time in our lives.
How is God using Elevation Church in your life today?
Gets us out of bed every morning, put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, it's really just helped our faith. It's helped sustain us through, again, the most difficult time of our lives. And without that, I don't know how we'd be able to make it every day. Well, I think people here have been great. Again, they showed an outpouring of love. Great time for us. And really, Todd is the one that I think really drew us to the church. He was just tremendous.
Again, I know that sometimes the audio on these is a little bit tough. If y'all didn't catch what Bob was saying there, he said that the church, you guys, helped he and Lynn and their other two sons and their families through the most difficult time of their lives. Those hours, those minutes, those days and weeks and months now after Chris, their youngest son, was killed in a car accident last year, just last September. Life happens. There are things that we are all going to face that we cannot prepare for. You cannot expect. You can't plan a contingency for every scenario. Bob and Lynn lived that just less than a year ago. Get a call on a random weeknight. Your son has been in a car accident. He didn't make it. Where do you fall back? To whom do you run in those moments? You couldn't possibly have planned. You couldn't have possibly prevented. You have nothing in those moments when life happens, but shock and awe, just that raw emotion and hurt. Bob and Lynn, I think, would be the first to tell you they were not prepared. They were not prepared. I'll be honest, I was not prepared when I got a phone call that night. I was not prepared. And I prayed all the way from my house to their house. Bob was out of town. Lynn was there by herself with another son and his wife and their kids. They're all just in shock. And we prayed together. And I loved on them. And some other people from the church showed up. We prayed with Amy, who was Chris's fiance, who was serving at that time in our children's ministry. We hugged on them. We cried with them. We prayed with them some more, and we cried with them some more. And for the next several days, we continued to just pour into that family whatever God was pouring into us. And you, Elevation Church, I know they said my name a couple of times in that. Let me help you all understand. It was not me that was doing that ministry. It was every one of you. It was every single one of us who was lifting them up in prayer. Every single one of us who was sending them little notes and cards, who was delivering meals to their house. Every single person who put on their favorite sports team jersey and showed up at the memorial service where we packed the house and blew the doors off to memorialize and to celebrate Chris's life. It was every one of you who received Chris in love when Amy, his fiance, brought him into the church that same year, just last year. Chris came to the church. And I remember having a meeting with him and Amy and my wife and I in our living room, and Chris asking me penetrating questions, hard but good questions, about faith in Jesus. And I answered his questions, and he looked at me with kind of a, now what, kind of a look. And I was like, well, is there any reason you wouldn't want to make that commitment to follow Jesus now? And he's like, no, I was just waiting on you to tell me how. Oh, okay, well, let's take care of that piece of business right now. And Chris prayed to receive salvation from Jesus right there in my living room. I think it was in March or April of last year. He was baptized in June out in Lake Louisville when we did our baptism out there. He and Amy were engaged to be married. They were making plans. We were about to start premarital counseling. They had no plan for what happened. They had no premonition of what might come. God knew what was coming. None of us did. And I believe that it was God who prepared Chris, who brought him into the church. See, when God is looking for a place to birth new Christians, I was told a long time ago that he looks for the warmest incubator that he can find. He looks for the warmest incubator that he can find when he's ready to birth a bunch of new baby believers. I like that analogy. And I'd like to think that at that time, he was looking at Elevation Church, this little bitty group of people, this little 60 or 70 person church, and he said, that right there is a good family. That's a great warm incubator for a new believer to come to faith in Jesus and to learn how to follow, to be discipled and to be led. And Chris was in that process, and God was doing great things in his life, but I think he was more than anything preparing Chris for eternity, making sure that his eternity was taken care of. I love Elevation Church because when life happens, Elevation Church is here. I'd say there, but we're there too. But we're here. We're present. We're very, very present. Very, very near. And we are that because that is what God is. And because we are submitted to him, because we follow him, because we love him, because we worship him, because we live his calling on our lives, his purpose for us as his church, to love him and to love others. We showed up and we loved Bob and Lynn. We had met Bob and Lynn one time when they came to the Easter service. One time. Didn't matter. We showed up and loved them. Didn't care if we knew them or not. You know what? They've loved us right back. Everything that you, Bob, and Lynn, think that we have done for you, you're doing it right back for us. I love seeing you guys here every Sunday. Y'all bless me. You bless me in ways you can't imagine. And I hope we continue to bless you because that's what the church is. It's this relationship of us blessing one another, loving one another, meeting one another's needs, praying for one another, supporting one another, bearing one another's burdens. This is what the church is. This is what the church does. We do it all the time, not just when life happens. But when life happens, baby, we kick it up. We kick it up a notch or two. And this little small church served that family in a way that I've seen big churches miss completely, fall short of. So Elevation Church, thank you for being here, for being near and present and filled with love when life happens. You came alongside this family in their darkest hour. In the most difficult time of their lives, Bob said. And you didn't make it great. You simply made it bearable. God used us to help them take the next step. And then the one after that. And then the one after that. Just to make it bearable. Life is unpredictable. There's no friend, there's no family member, there's no government agency, no other organization in the world like the church to be there with you and for you when life happens. We're going to wrap up today with one more story about life happens. One more story about a family who just got blindsided by something, by this situation in their life. We're going to hear in his own words, the husband, the father's own words, how Elevation Church has impacted their family since this cataclysmic event, this life happens moment.
I was had just gone through something very difficult in my life. I found out my marriage was over after 16 years. And in an attempt to try to fix things on my own, one of the many things I needed to do was get a job. And that took me to working nights as a stock person at Tom Thumb. Working nights allowed me to still be a family man and not miss anything at home. And at Tom Thumb, the general manager, Mr. Oates, knew my situation, knew what I was going through, knew how hard it was, and sitting with him one day, he was sharing about his divorce, how difficult it is. I was sharing with mine, and he was led to do something he said he'd never done before. And he fumbled through his desk, and he said, there's a guy that comes in, and he said, he's always talking to me. He's always sharing life. He said, this is a guy I think you need to talk to. And he handed me a business card, and it was Todd Hamilton. And that afternoon, I called him. We met at Starbucks, sat for 2 hours. And that's how I met Elevation Church. He didn't invite me to church, but we just talked. And I asked him where he was at, because where I was going, a current mega church, I wasn't feeling it. I needed more than just worship on Saturday, worship on Sunday. I needed to connect. I needed to get plugged in. I needed to be part of a community, and that church didn't offer it to me. My son started going with me, and he wasn't connecting to the adult message either, and they didn't really have much for him either. Well, I talked to Todd another time. I asked him what his church was like. I went and took my son with me, and I never left. That's a great question. I would have to say that my favorite part is that this church is broken like me. It doesn't seem like too many people are pretending to be something they're not. But my favorite would have to be Pastor Todd, who has not only been a leader, but he's carried me when I needed to. He's helped me stand when I need to. And he's let me alone when I needed to be alone. A friendship has developed, but more than that, he's been my leader when I needed a leader more than anything.
If I had to sum up what I see about you in this church, it's you're a motivated servant. You know, you're a pretty much a full speed, tear it down, pick it up, go do it kind of guy. What is serving the church do for you?
Good question again. What it does for me is my former life was about me. And although I did for others, I never served others. And a lot like the opposite between the world and God, I've learned that my Savior was a servant before anything. He had to follow before he could lead. And what it does for me is it lets me get close to my Lord and walk his steps and be his hands, be his feet, be whatever he needs me to be. And what I get out of that, true servanthood and the rewards that come with it. For a long time, I've been a good dad. Since I got out of my own way and I handed my life and surrendered it over to Jesus, he's shown me how to be a father. And in that, in the worst time of my life, I got to lead my son and my daughter to Jesus. They both got saved while I'm attending this church. They've both been baptized and gave a public proclamation of their faith in this church. My son is connected. He's believing. He's walking the walk himself. He feels home. He feels plugged in. He's part of the youth ministry. He's gone on missions. He reads on his own. He proclaims out. I mean, he's courageous. He does some things that sometimes I'm afraid to do. And is that because of the church? No. But this church has become a home that he's plugged in, that he's able to build that courage. And he's finding servanthood too when he's serving in the mornings on Sundays. He's made friends in the youth ministry on Thursdays. That's a part of his life. He comes home, he talks about it, we discuss it, we read together. I'm getting the relationship, I'll put it this way. God called me to be a father, and this church is allowing me to pursue that calling.
I met Dennis 14 months ago. you would not recognize, if those of you who know Dennis today, you would not have recognized the Dennis that I met 14 months ago. The transformation is remarkable. It's physical, it's emotional, and it's spiritual. It's all of those things that God has been doing in his life. All of those things that God has been shaping and redefining, and not just in Dennis's life, but also in his children's lives. He has a son who is wrapping up seventh grade, actually here at Briar Hill, and a daughter who is in fourth grade. And those two kids, you heard him talk about what God has done through all of you, through all of us, to impact his life and their lives. This is a family that was plugged into a church. I say plugged in. They were attending another church in town. And I am not going to bash churches. I don't do that. Good Lord, any of those pastors could walk in here and give you a list on any given Sunday of all the things we're not doing right, okay? So I'm not here to bash any other church. I'm just telling you, his experience there was that it was distant and cold. He couldn't get connected for whatever reason. When he came here, we had met two or three times at Starbucks. I wouldn't say he and I were really connected, but he connected with you. And his kids connected with your kids. And his kids connected with our children's ministry, with my wife Trina, and with Amy, who was still helping us back then, and with Bethany, and with our students, 6th through 12th grade, who on Sunday mornings, most of our 6th through 12th graders are serving in our preschool and our nursery and in our elementary age ministries. And so his kids came in and they connected with that group. I did it again. We're going to have to figure out what's going on with that. All of you, I know what you're thinking, and that is bad, bad, bad. I said we're a dirty church, but no. Well, maybe it wasn't all of you. Maybe it was just Tanner. Here's the deal. They got connected here in the church. They got connected with you, and by being connected with you, they got connected with God. And as they got connected with God and began to live for him, their lives have been transformed, and Dennis will be the very first one to tell you he's got a lot of growing to do. He and his kids are growing, but they've got a lot of growing yet to do. He'd be the first one to tell you that. He's actually not here right now. Dennis is a baseball tournament with his son. He wanted to be here. He was really, really upset that they placed as highly as they did because they had to play an early morning game. He wanted them to lose a little bit worse so they would get a higher seed and play later in the day. And he's the coach. He was really trying to throw the game, I'm convinced. His players just, you know, they gave a little too much effort for him. I think he's coached them up too well. But here's the deal. What Dennis and his kids have experienced, that's been the experience of many people here in, through, and among Elevation Church, that God has gotten a hold of you, and he has begun a work in you, and he is changing you from the inside out. He is revolutionizing your life. He's breathing new life into you. Dennis, when I met him just over a year ago, was walking dead. He was hurting emotionally, distraught. He had lost like 40 pounds. He was down to skin and bones. I think he's found it all again. I can say that because he's not here to beat on me. But God has done amazing things in just 14 months in, through, and among Elevation Church to revolutionize his life, to redefine who he is, to bring him past that life happens moment when he realized that his marriage was gone. What he thought was secure, what he thought was real, was in fact broken, and he couldn't fix it. God used you. God used you to do that work in Dennis's life. He used you to make him feel welcome and warm. He used you to get Dennis connected. He used you to reach out to his children. He used you to open up their eyes, to open up their hearts, to open up their minds so that he could plant the Holy Spirit in them. God redeemed Dennis here in this church. He could have done it anywhere. He could have done it at any church. He could have done it at the church that he was attending, but he chose to do it here. He could have redeemed his children anywhere, at any church, at any time. He chose to do it here. I don't know why. I might add that to my list of things to ask God when I get there one day. Why? Why us? Why here? Why now? I don't know. But for whatever reason, God did plant Elevation Church here in this community, now at this time. And he did it with very specific intent, with a very clear purpose. Our purpose for being here, as God has communicated it to me, is this. We are here to lead people to love Jesus, lead people to know Jesus personally, to know Jesus personally, to grow in faith through relationships. Those are relationships with you, the church, and with God. And then to go and share the love of Christ with others. To know, to grow, and to go. That's why we're here. Elevation Church, your own words of God's story that he is writing in you and through you right now, the reason that all of you have come back and said why we love Elevation Church is because Elevation Church is living its mission. We are knowing and growing and going. We are leading people to know Jesus personally. We are helping people engage in relationships in this community of believers and with God. And then we're getting outside of ourselves, outside of our comfort zone, and we are reaching out into our community where 2 out of 3 don't know him, and we are inviting them in to the church, to our family, and into a relationship with God. That is why we love Elevation Church. Those are the stories we just heard. That's your own testimony. And so let me be the first to say today, thank you, Elevation Church, for being the church. Thank you for being the church. Don't stop now. We have only just begun, and God has so much more that he wants to do in, through, and among you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to be your church. We pray that you would continue, God, to guide us, to direct us, to shape us, to refine us, to define us as your church so that we can live your mission, so that we can do the work that you've called us to do, so that we can be salt and light in this community and pour your love out into the people who need you, who are far from you. Father, we pray that you would continue to break our hearts for what breaks yours. Continue to lead us strong as we follow faithfully. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you have made us through you. We pray this all in your name. Amen.